Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hello, and welcome to Why Are You Like This?, a podcast devoted to finding out who we are and why we do the things we do. I'm your host, Ryan Andrews, and today's guest is someone you all know and love, someone who I personally have made come out twice, a pop star and a musical theater expat, the naughty to my nice, Sean Daniel Doherty. Pew, pew, pew.
Not come out twice. That's amazing. It's true. How many more times will I come out? Who knows?
Who knows? Life is ever-changing, ever-evolving.
The limit does not exist. It's fine.
How does it feel to talk to your gay bully face-to-face?
I mean, you're on a computer screen, so it's not face-to-face.
You can still see my face. Wait, is that...
If I saw you in person? What?
Is that a real thing? If we're not actually physically face-to-face, it's not face-to-face?
Yeah, I mean, we're screen-to-screen.
So what does FaceTime count as?
Screen-to-screen. It's all screen.
Huh. If you have sexual relations over FaceTime, is it sex?
Oh, well, now that's a whole nother...
A minute in.
I mean, I would say no.
Okay.
Personally. But that's based on the parameters that I have made for myself and my sexual experiences.
Great. We're just starting.
And like, yeah, we're jumping straight in.
Straight in there. How are you today?
I'm fine. I'm good. It's like 2:30 because I'm on the West Coast.
West Coast. Woo! Yes, I asked Sean to come back because the people have been asking for you. And literally anytime one of us leaves the city, we find some project we need to do. So
it's true. It's true.
Here we are, back at it. Back again.
You've already heard why I'm like this, but why not find out more?
Why not? We're always growing. We're always changing. We're always evolving.
Yes.
So I guess we should start. How has life changed for you since I outed you the last time?
Right. Of course. And, you know, well, I mean, we also did an entire 9-episode series about Taylor Swift. So you could say it's really different. Just like the life update, I guess? Is that what we're asking?
Give us a life update. What are you up to?
Well, as of like... 2 weeks ago, I got a Twitter DM from an old friend that I used to work out with at Mark Fisher Fitness Party, the land of lifting weights and dildos. He was like, hey, I'm associate artistic director at Diversionary Theater in San Diego, and there's a new musical. It's a really fast turnaround. Can you send in a video? And I sent in a video, and now I'm in San Diego for 2 months, which is crazy.
Is it a video?
And it's the first... musical I will have done without a music stand since before COVID, which is wild.
Oh, isn't that nice?
It's crazy. I'm like, do I know how to use my body anymore? We'll see.
Probably not. But I have faith in you.
Not in an acting capacity.
No.
Everything else, it's going fine.
Yeah, you have limbs. you have yeah. Movable limbs. That's so exciting. Congratulations.
Yeah.
San Diego's nice.
It's cool.
It's one of my favorite places.
It's really funny because I... got here, and almost immediately it was like every single person that I know seems to have some sort of San Diego connection or has lived here at some point. And so like all of a sudden people were, I have, this is not a joke, like four separate people have sent me like their personal guides. Aww. Shout out to Michael Benjamin, who wrote a really amazing one. Apparently I live very close to his parents, which is amazing.
Are you going to go see his parents?
Maybe. Why not?
Why not?
Hello, Benjamins. Yeah, no, it's like been, it's so gorgeous. It's so gay.
Very gay.
So, it's so queer. We live in, we're living in Hillcrest, which is like not far from the theater is, and it's like the gayborhood. And I forgot that like in New York, you can just like, New York, like it's kind of just a mix of everybody constantly. There's not like specific areas, I think, that are like queer, like maybe the Village a little bit, but like it's not, the Village is also like super expensive now, so it's like, it can also be full of like ritzy people. Not that gay people can't be ritzy, but you know. Well, but then yeah, like being in like a designated area is, it's like so refreshing to just be like to walk around and pretty much only see queer people.
I love that. I love,
yeah,
that.
It's amazing.
It's utopia. We talked about this briefly through text as I so like passionately wrote, no more queer things for straight audiences.
Hurrah.
Tell me, it's been a few days, but you're working pretty much with an entirely queer creative team and cast.
Yeah.
And what does that feel? Does it just feel like dropped in and home and like no pretense?
It's kind of like this thing that it feels like how every show should feel. And that you're in a room full of people that are already on the same page, but that so rarely happens. and also, like, Diversionary is one of the, it's like the third oldest queer theater in the country. And it was made during the 80s, from what I've gathered. Hopefully I don't get any of this wrong. I've just got here and I'm learning everything.
It's a fact-based podcast first and foremost.
Always. As we were like frantically Googling like, Taylor Swift facts, being like, Taylor, is this right?
Who
are we making
is
that up?
Taylor Swift.
but apparently it was like used as like a some sort of medical facility. Mm-hmm. And then it was basically, the space was donated to a group of queer people to create a theater in the 80s. And like we have somebody in the cast that they worked on a show in 1991.
Good year. Year is born.
Oh, not me. You know, I'm young. but like the show, it's called 86. It's by Jeremy King and Sam Salmon. I realized I didn't even say what it was. And it's based off the book by David Feinberg. It's about a group of gay men in the 1980s. It takes place in 1986 in the height of the AIDS crisis before there was a any sort of treatment. It's like right before AZT. And but it's more about, it's also like a memory play. So it's like them flashing back to the early 1980s. And it follows this one gay man, BJ. And his experience when he learns that he may have slept with somebody that's currently diagnosed with HIV. But the show ends up being way less, like there's so many, like not to just like throw them all in a box, but like AIDS plays. Mm-hmm. And there's so many that are just kind of about like, look at the suffering. This is all so bad. And the show, obviously it's heavy. Like it's got like a lot of very like intense scenes. But what I was so taken aback by is that it's really funny, and it's more about like how these people all kind of banded together and like found ways to stay alive during all of this. And it's about like remembering that like people went through this, and it wasn't just something that happened as like an event. Like it wasn't like AIDS happened. It's like these were individual human beings with individual stories, and a lot of them got cut short. And it's also, all the music is like dance pop. It's amazing. Mm. So it's like more about like the life that happened during all of this terrible time versus just like the death, which is, and doing all of that, like I was saying, one of the cast members was like, we did a read through of the show and we're all like crying at the end. And one of the cast members was like, I was 19 in 1991 and I did my first show here at Diversionary Theater, and I was here to replace somebody that had just gotten sick. And they were like, being here now, doing a show, like remembering this era and this people, it's like, it's opening a lot of wounds and a lot of like feelings that I'm not sure I'm like ready to tackle yet. But also like, this show is about doing that and like remembering and honoring these people. And so like, it's like a very, it's, but also like there's kind of like this wild experience where you just walk into a room and like there's references in the script of being like, oh, like let's go back to the monster, or like let's or like somebody like does poppers, and I was just like, just imagine, I was talking about this with some of the co-stars and being like, we would have to explain so many things to a room of straight people that you just kind of save like a week of time, because everyone just already understands how these things are being said, how these characters interact, how they like you'd have to, I feel like you'd have to explain so many things like non-monogamy and like endless concepts that happen in the show. And instead, like we did the read through and I was like, everything just felt like, oh yeah. Cause I'm in a room of actual queer people. And like, we all know how this goes and we all understand these emotions.
Yeah. It's hard to like define why people are like, stop casting straight people as gay people.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Anybody could perform sexuality. But there's more to being queer. There's a culture. There is history. There is shared trauma. There is
vocabulary.
Vocab. There's just culture there that is forgotten a lot of the time. If you just plug in, it's love is love. Like it. That's not it. Like,
and it's and I you know I don't. I don't think a straight person like can't play a queer person. I just think like we've been given so few opportunities to have a room of all queer people, all playing a bunch of queer people in a show. And it's like the fact that this is like one of the first times I've been in an almost exclusively queer experience doing a queer show is like, it makes you realize like how much we might have been missing out. We have been missing out on
a lot of times in order to appeal.
Yeah.
Artists have to
teach,
explain and teach.
Yeah. Well, and it's my co-star Jordan, who plays my boyfriend in the show, said this really amazing thing the other night. We were like, we talked for like 2 hours after the read through because we were both just like, this is such an amazing experience. And he said something like, nobody ever complains like when they go to see Shakespeare mm-hmm. that they missed something, but they know that if something's funny, they laugh, or if something's like intense, they know what's going on. Like they might not know the exact vocabulary, but they can like know what's going on. And this is kind of how this show kind of feels for us, is like in the middle of a bathhouse sequence, if someone's doing poppers and the audience doesn't know what poppers is, they can go Google that after the show, or they can ask someone, or like, but for everybody else in the audience is going to be like, yeah, I know what that's like.
Yeah.
And like, but, and it just, it feels so much more authentic, like not dumbing it all down to like stereotypes. It's like, no, these are complicated people living complicated lives with very complicated relationships, and it doesn't, even though it's probably not going to fit a necessary box in like, these are white rich gays that are funny and like they're gonna get married on the season finale, yes, I'm talking about Modern Family. like there's so, and I mean endless, like any major sitcom maybe recently like they might start making it a little more interesting, but like oh, shout out to Abbott Elementary, like, you know, they're at least like having just a gay couple that's just there. But yeah, it's just like, it's so refreshing to not have something like dumbed down.
Yeah, I think we're just in a fascinating upswing from early 2000s, where the kind of goal to get gay rights forward was to be like, we're just like you.
Oh yeah. And we're now, I mean, now, not just now, but like, no, we're not. We're right. So different. And I want to stay different.
Yeah. So it's very, very cool. And it's a very exciting opportunity. And I'm so, so proud of you.
Oh, thank you. I'm very excited. It's like, it's super heavy. And like, I'm going to be like mostly crying most days of the week, but it's also like really cool to just be a part of something like this. So I'm like, and it happened so suddenly. Like 2 weeks ago, I had no idea I'd be in San Diego doing an all queer musical at a queer theater. Beautiful weather. I love it. Having a great time.
Love it. The producer in my ear says that my next question for you is, what is your favorite thing about me?
Oh, the producer in your ear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. It has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Favorite thing about you?
Uh-huh.
You absolutely refuse to sit like still. I mean, this is like, as like, you are like so driven in that you're like, all right, this thing didn't work out, so I'm going to just make something else. Like, I'm just going to, like, go and do something else. And, like, you're constantly making things, and that's how you have a very successful podcast.
Well, thank you.
And, like, and also as, like, a famously lazy person, me, you always make me do shit. And so I'm always just like, oh, yeah, okay. And then I end up having, like, a blast. I'm like, yeah, I guess I could make things. That's, like, cool. And, like, even though, like, obviously as artists, it's, like, comes out of necessity, a lot of us just don't do that. And, like, you do. And I think that's a very admirable trait.
Thank you.
Of course.
It's a great answer. Producer says, great answer.
Yeah, this is, I love that this is just, like, this is, like, Che Diaz's compliment hour.
Oh, speaking of Che Diaz, I just have to give a warning in case anybody from HR is watching. I am recording this shirtless currently.
Oh, it's true. I actually feel super attacked as someone who lived with you and worked out next to you shirtless for 4 years.
Yeah. So I just want to put that out there for HR purposes.
Yeah. HR?
HR? Hello? HR?
Hello? I think they didn't pay the bill.
It's hard out here.
Their line got cut.
What music are you listening to these days?
Oh, well, you know, I've just been listening to that Maggie Rogers song on repeat over and over.
I want the haircut so bad.
I mean, we could chemically straighten your hair, yeah?
Have I told you that that was, like, threatened at me in high school theater?
That sounds right. I mean, that was the thing, is no hairstyling or, like, costuming or anything in theater below, like, a certain, not even, like, not even just professionally, like, a certain level of professional, it's a threat.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, so we're gonna dye your hair black. And you're like, what? What, no, you're not. And they're like, yes, we are. And I'm like, you're not paying me enough for this. And they said, exactly.
And they come like, at you what? with the like Dwayne Reed box. They're already spraying it.
It's, well, don't forget, freshman year of college, they cut my hair with paper scissors. I looked like, oh my god, what a, like, I walked out and the things people said about me, and it wasn't my fault. I wore a hat for like 3 weeks. They cut my hair with paper scissors for a world premiere of an opening of a musical for the playing the lead. And they said, you know what? He should look like a supremacist. I was furious.
Yeah, I was in Grease, not the country, the musical.
Right, not Mamma Mia.
And the, like, stage manager's mom was doing all of our hair and was teaching us all how to do a DA. And boys like me weren't doing the DA at the time, and she just,
what's
like,
a DA? Touched...
So it's the, like,
is it the curl
haircut? It's the super slicked, and then it comes back, and your hair in the back meets like a duck's ass. That's what it's called.
Oh yeah, I get it. It's the yes.
Mm-hmm.
Not for me. Too big of a forehead for that.
Not for me either. Just too many curls. Yeah. And she just comes up and starts like touching my hair and is like, yeah, it's going to have to be chemically straightened.
Who is going to do that?
Who?
Jan?
For a weekend.
Janice?
And you know what? I can act all shocked now. At the time, I was like, it is for my craft. It has to.
You're like, no one is going to believe me in Grease, the most important musical ever written in the history of American theater. They're not going to believe that I am a greaser.
Mm-mm.
If I have curly hair.
They won't.
So I guess we got to do it.
The Janice, guy that played,
straighten me out.
Straighten it, please. Please straighten me out. The guy that played Kinnicky told me he was method.
Yeah. What does that mean for that role? He, you know, danced on Cars.
Maybe he got a girl pregnant. I don't know.
Party. I mean, I don't know. Did they?
Breaking news from 2007.
I was not having sex in high school, so.
Yeah, I wasn't either.
Huh. Yeah.
What counts as sex to you?
I mean, I get into, me and my boyfriend argue about this a lot because we have different definitions of like when I would say sex. Like, I think all sexual activity is sex, but I would say when I'm like talking about my life, I'm like, if I did anything from, if I was like hand job, blow job, something like that, that's hooking up to me. Like, oh, okay. We hooked up. Mm-hmm. And then if we actually had sex, and I'd say, I mean, see, but that's where it gets tricky, because I said actually had sex, but for some people that is like we had sex. Mm-hmm. But I would say, like, if we had penetrative sex, mm-hmm. yes, I'm getting, we're getting literally deep on here. what's the Che Diaz? It's like trigger warning. It's so stupid.
Woke alert.
Woke alert. We're talking about deep penetration. All sex is valid. But if I do that business, then I usually would say that's when I usually refer to it as sex, personally. At least in like a conversation. I'd be like, oh, we had sex. That means penetrative. But if I said like, otherwise I would just say we hooked up or made out, if we just made out.
Well, yeah. Making out, I think, is pretty definitive.
Yeah.
As making out.
Yeah. Even some like touching of like above the clothes business. It's like, yeah, sure, let's make it out.
Yeah. I see, like, I don't need to have penetrative sex. I like it. It's fun. In order to, like, say we had sex.
Yeah. I think that's maybe the thing for me, is that I consider, like, hooking up and sex in the same, like, bubble.
Okay.
Like, I say different things just so people know, like, what happened, if, like, that's what somebody's asking. But, like, it's the same bubble for me as, like, a hookup is a hookup, whether we had, like, sex or... You know, it's like squares and rectangles.
Uh-huh. Yes, 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 yes. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Not all rectangular hookups are sex, but all... Wait, I think I'm doing it backward. Not all rectangular squares are sex, but all rectangles are hookups. I had to... You know what I mean.
You know what? Google it. And if you just play it backwards, you'll hear it's perfect.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to choose to believe that everyone knows what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. I have been thinking recently about how, like, sexting and the pandemic have, like, broadened what would be considered sex in that way. Because, like, yeah. I've been a sexting fiend for forever. I mean, I think it's one of the greatest multitasking things.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing better than, like, picking up some muesli from, like, like the local grocery store. And somebody's just like, yeah, I'm just going to... fuck your something, and you're like texting with one hand and being like, oh, do I want the one with raisins?
I'm like, oh my god, I'm, oh yeah, daddy. And I'm like literally just looking
like,
at muesli.
Should I get the oat milk or like the almond milk? Yeah, taught me.
Taught me, yeah. But I feel like because there was such a long expanse of like, that was really the only way I was getting sexual gratification at all for a while.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes that feels as intimate, if not more, than, like, an in-person hookup to me.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that's great about sexting is that it can be that, and there's just none of the, like, pressure of any of the actual act, mm-hmm. especially if it's somebody you've, like, you're not, like, with a lot or something. So it's just kind of, like, both of you get something out of it. You both are in complete control of what it is, and... nobody had to really worry about anything. And yeah. It doesn't really affect anything after that. It's an isolated good thing.
You're both like creating fantasy in the way that like porn
is. Oh yeah,
is
it's
fantasy.
Straight up fan fiction.
Yeah, it's just like writing fan fiction. Because there are things, I'm sorry to any of you that I have sent things to. There are things I have said that I'm into and that I love that I just in person would be like, no, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Because it just sounds fun at the time.
And it's also like, it's like an improv game of like, who can what up the other person. So it's just like, yeah, do this. Yeah. And then like, then you get like my boyfriend tweeting, I want to fuck your skull till it breaks, and getting banned from Twitter for like 3 weeks.
He did indeed do that.
We weren't even sexting. That was just a reply.
That was just something he wrote out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've offered so many things that are just not actually on the table.
You're like, oh, I was somebody else when I sent that.
I'm a different person. The moment I'm feral, I'm like, goodbye.
That's also fine. I mean, like, also part of that, like, does transfer over to, like, actual sex, where, like, all of a sudden, when, like, the cloud goes away and you're like, what did I say? Did I say, was that my voice?
Where were we? You did what? Great. Fun.
Like, wow, I've never done that before, but I think we liked it in the moment. It's kind of weird now, but, like, yeah, I guess in the moment it was great.
Yeah. No, I feel like I'm in this like second adolescence these days, just out dancing and kissing and fooling around and
kissing and hugging and
and touching, and it's like it's that delayed puberty thing that everyone talks about with being queer, where you're like, I feel comfortable as me and my body and what I want and what I like and like how I want to pursue things in a way that I just didn't at 21 when I was like,
Well, and also I think there's a major component of all of this where I think even people who were like acting on that sort of thing before the pandemic, like everyone's kind of on a different level after. Not that the pandemic's over, you know, I'm still I still get COVID tested 3 times a week. But
talk
like
about that nussy.
Yes, deep in there. Sometimes self-induced, sometimes somebody else does it for me.
Ooh,
and that's when it gets really fun.
That gets crazy.
but like, and we kind of talked about it. We've been talking about it with the show a lot too, because like there was this kind of like era of like post birth control and pre HIV where like people were just like, oh, we, I guess we can just like fuck and there's no real repercussions. And like so much sexual exploration and like so much sexual history came out of that time. And then the epidemic happened. And so like now we have this like time where everyone was like living their lives in whatever like way they could. And then all of a sudden 2 years went by where like nobody could do anything. And like, I mean, and a lot of people, I understand some people's like frustrations with this, but I think it's like kind of a twofold thing. But like a lot of people that, you know, never went to like a huge big party or like went out and like did something crazy on a dance floor are like doing those things now. And like, so that means like the parties are changing because the clientele are changing and it's a lot of people not knowing what they're doing and a lot of people going with the wrong intentions or like causing a ruckus or something. And
not
like it's
demon twink discourse a year later.
Oh, you know, listen, I gotta say, I know he like that was a messy, messed up thing to do, but like the audacity to be like, I hate everything. I'm throwing a drink at the DJ and I'm gonna get my ass eaten in the VIP and get away with it. Like fully got away with it.
This is why you won't catch me on a boat. Watch. 2 weeks from now, I'm on at a boat party.
I do enough stuff on boats. I'm good.
I just like to know my exits.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Is like, I just don't want to be trapped.
I often feel like I'm having a bad time at a party. Like,
let's unpack that.
Every party? Every party, there's a moment. You called me on it last week where you looked over at me. You're like, I can tell that you're, you didn't say this, but you're being pissy and it's unnecessary. So like,
no, I spun around and I said, change your mindset. Because we walked into Flaming Saddles, which was totally a normal, crowded Flaming Saddles night. And you were like, there are so many fucking straight people in here. And I was like, it's Flaming Saddles. Of course there are. Change your mindset. You're with gays.
But yeah, you won't catch me on a boat. I like my exits. But you were saying good for them getting their ass ate in public.
Oh, I mean, like, work, but it's also, like, there's been, like, a lot of frustration of, like, people, because there's all these people kind of getting this whole release for the first time, like, I had never been to a horse meat disco before the pandemic, and now I've been to two, and I think they're really fun, and I had a great time, and I liked the idea that it's kind of, like, there's something for everybody there. I do think there's a lot of people that had created an idea of what it was in their head before that after years of hearing about it, and they're like, that's where everybody goes and, you know, fucks on the dance floor. And I think that's not necessarily what that party was about. And like, now there's like people that have been going to these parties for years being like, okay, chill. Like, there's parties that they're that, there's parties for this, there's parties for that. But like, and I was talking to somebody recently and they were just like, now every party's kind of becoming the same because everybody's just going to the same parties, as opposed to going to the one that like most fit what your vibe was. And like, not to say people can't go to all the parties, but I can understand the frustration with that. On the other hand, I think it's amazing that like people, so many people that were like terrified to do this sort of thing or judgmental of it in the first place are now like, no, I understand now the kind of like euphoric experience of just being in a giant crazy laser space with a bunch of queer people and like letting loose for, you know, 9 hours or whatever.
See, I should have known when I really loved that song Sandstorm when I was playing laser tag as a kid that this is where I would end up.
Here you are. I mean, honestly, give me a horse meat disco with laser tag. I'd be done for. I'd love it.
Bring back laser tag. That was literally just his mouth. I want you to know I don't have a sound button. That was just
people him. Ask me what that mouth do, and I say
Okay.
Once again, I got dropped in San Diego, surrounded by a bunch of queer people. It's a whole new me.
Whole new you. No, I think you're right. I think I have nothing really to add to party discourse. I think there will be a leveling out. I think there's a very interesting... Oh, yeah.
Pride's going to be a fucking mess.
Girl. She's around the corner. Pride gets me every year because I feel like I wake up one day in February and...
Everything's sold out.
They're like, oh, yeah, we sold all the tickets. And I was like, it is February.
And, like, I mean, that also comes from the fact that, like, me and you before the pandemic didn't really go to a lot of big parties. We just, like, go to a bar. And so we're not, like, on the email lists and on the, like, we don't have the notifications turned on for the Instagram. Like,
but we're famous.
And now we learned. And so it's like, okay.
Now we learned.
If we really want to go to these things, then, like, we will. But also, now that Instagram stories are just StubHub and a stock market for queer tickets, you'll find something. It'll be fine.
It'll be
fine. I still don't know if I'll be back for New York Pride, so we'll see.
Hopefully not, honestly.
Yeah, hopefully not, because that means we got extended all the way. So
yeah. Who do you think is scarier, Swifties or Charlie XCX fans?
Swifties, absolutely 100%. Because
they
Swifties
scare the shit out of me.
Well, Swifties will find you and kill you. And, like, you know what? That's just resourceful and, like, good for them. Charlie XCX fans are just loud. And I'm saying this, let me be clear before I get, like, you know, some anime avatar screaming at me on the internet. I love her. She's great. But she hates those people too. And so, like, she wrote a whole song about them. She said, I don't give a fuck what you think about me. And, like, just, I'll never understand stan culture. I can, like, I love Taylor Swift, but if somebody's like, I hate Taylor Swift, I'm like, that's just your loss and I don't care. Because she's financially fine, not worried about this one person not listening to her music. And also, I don't know her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're good.
It doesn't change my life if Taylor Swift doesn't win a Grammy. It doesn't change anything about my experience I had with her music or literally anything going on in my day-to-day.
Yeah.
That's what I loved so much about John Baptiste's acceptance speech, where he was just like, not a single one of these albums is better than the other album. Like, the glory of music is that it's recorded and it gets to you and in time of your life when it is important to you. Yeah. And you'll always remember those moments because of that music. And it has nothing to do with, like, better or worse.
Yeah. And I also just don't understand the idea of, like, I'm going to go to war for somebody who's never going to, like, know who I am. Which I guess comes down to, like, most wars.
Wow, yeah. You heard it here first. Sean and I, not going to war.
Don't catch me.
Can't.
I don't know.
Don't catch me in war.
I think guns are loud.
I'm so bad at them. Like, we both have dads that are a little bit country.
A little bit. I'm a little bit garbage.
One time in my youth was like, sure, dad, I'll go shooting with you to like be a pal. And I've never been worse at something. And I hate things that I'm bad at.
I shot a gun once and it was so loud that I said, I need my ears for my career. I didn't say that. I just thought, I was like, that was loud. I didn't like that. I'm done. I'm going to go inside.
Speaking of your career, do you have new music around the horizon?
I do, in fact. Release date TBD, because this little gig is throwing a little bit of a wrench into things, but it might end up being exciting because of that. But I'm aiming for, like, I was going to do end of May, but it's probably going to be more like June-ish.
Great time.
Hopefully. Or, like, I mean, I might save it for July just so I can release it when I'm back in New York. But, it's a new song. It's called Fire Escape. I like it a lot. I'm very happy with it. And hopefully we're working on a video, so it'll be, like, that whole thing again.
Audio and visual.
I'm really interested to see your visuals. I watched the Maggie Rogers.
I have them.
The Maggie Rogers Pharrell video the other day, because our friend hadn't seen it.
So, Sean.
So what?
You are unapologetically making queer art. You are in California. You are focused. You do CrossFit. And I have to ask you, why are you like that?
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Oh, I don't know, Ryan. You know, I will say, why am I like this right at this moment? I think because we spent 2 years not being able to perform and do anything. And we as a theater industry were like, let's change things. Everything's bad. We're going to make the difference and it's going to be better. And then for 2 years, anyone with the actual power to make those things happen did absolutely fucking nothing. And so I've been super annoyed at the whole idea of the industry and everything sucks. And I'm mad at everybody, especially anything to do with like major league commercial theater. And so then I was like, I'm going to make my own music so I have creative control over something in my life. And that's been more fulfilling than anything. But then also, on the other hand, like when an opportunity like this show, 86, arises, and it's so just like the opposite of all those things that I was just talking about, like that were problems, I'm like, okay, so there are still people out here trying to make a difference and do the right thing and make shows the right way and tell the right stories with the right people. And that was a pleasant surprise. And so I'm happy to be here. Even if I think Broadway needs a full-ass reckoning.
And a new location, honestly.
Yeah, like, it's so nice out here, and I don't understand why we suffer through New York all the time. Because, like, if just move it.
I literally tweeted the other day, I was like, I don't like New York in the winter, spring, or summer.
Okay, I love New York in the summer.
Mm-mm. Swamp ass for days. Mm-mm.
Yeah, but you're not all, everyone does. So it's just like this universal, like, everyone's hot and sweaty. So you, like, you don't have to, like, look a certain way. Everyone's just, like, stunning. It's gross. I'm having a great time. Let's drink rosé.
Stunning, gross, summer water.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about you.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Compliment. Che.
Che Diaz. Is
Gig in Cleveland.
Just power down, let Sean finish off the whole episode. you said theater, we wanted to fix everything. Everyone got very vocal on their socials and not
especially
in actual and not in any actual factual way. And the way that you were like, you got really angry. And the way that I see you process anger is so admirable to me, because it is vastly different than me in that it becomes like a steady, quiet determination, whereas I would say that I get like really heated really fast, and it just explodes. Like, it's like an explosive, like, well, fuck all this, blah! Oh, yeah. And then, like, hopefully in the come down something happens. But, like, yours seems just more manageable. I really admire that in you. And I don't want to get, like, astrology about it, because neither of us actually know what the fuck that means.
No, it is the most Taurus thing about me.
Yeah, and it's the most Leo thing about me. So, yeah. Well, that, and I'm stunning.
Well, that, and I love attention. No, I mean, yeah, it's, like, one of those things where, like, I try to always only have as much anger, enough space for anger over things that I can actively do something about. And if it's something that I can't do something about, I'm like, well, that's really fucking annoying, but it's not going to make anything better to, like, sit in that. So, like, yeah, I think the way most things Broadway being run is, like, just, oh, it drives me crazy. Yeah, everything's ridiculous. And, like, the things, ooh, I'm going to tell a little story.
Love it. Love a story.
And I hope, honestly, I hope that this theater hears this.
I hope they hear it.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. Just a couple weeks ago, I was asked to audition for a production of a show. I was asked, let's be clear. I did not seek this out. They mm-hmm. asked me to audition mm-hmm. for a role in a show mm-hmm. that is outside of the city. And I was like, work, great. The pay, barely livable. Like, not even close to, like, being able to pay, like, rent. And, but I was like, they asked, and it's, like, not too far away. It'll be fine. Then I ask for accompaniment tracks so I can send my audition. And they were like, no, we don't have those for that track. And I said, okay, well, what do you expect me to do? And they're like, well, everyone else just hired an accompanist. I said, no. Mm-mm. We're not doing that. Because the audacity for you to just expect me to pay an accompanist, or possibly not, which is even worse, the audacity for me to be like, let me just, like, pull out, you know, $90 for a studio and then pay another $100 for an accompanist and do all of this for a show that's going to pay $362 a week. Are you fucking kidding me? And then, because I'm an asshole, I just said, oh, I'm not doing that. And I sent a video of me singing at Lincoln Center and said, go fuck yourself. And I still got a callback. And then they go, the callback is upstate New York.
No.
So just come on up. And it's
a different country.
Oh, and we're not going to tell you what sides to do. Just make sure you look at all of them. And there's 4 songs and 2 full scenes. And I was like, this is not equivalent. The work that I would have to put in is not equivalent to any even close to, like, a payoff here. And I was getting, like, really frustrated. And then I said, wait, I actually do have power in this situation. I can say fuck off.
That is true.
And so I was, like, sitting in your room. And I was, like, mm-hmm. going to print sides. Then your printer ran out of ink. And I was just like,
it's my fault.
Wait. No, but I was just like, why am I doing this? I don't want to do this show. I don't want to work with these people who are horrible to me in emails and are completely condescending. And I also don't want to work for a theater that clearly doesn't value their actors or performers or musicians, like, at all.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, oh, I'm just going to not do this. And then I didn't do that. I said, no, I'm not coming. Canceled the callback. Didn't book that show. And instead, now I'm here.
Look at you.
And, like, I wouldn't have been able to say yes to this if I had, like, booked that show and spent all that time to make $0.
Yeah, I think there, I mean, I'm sure this is in every industry. I can only speak of the one that we work in. But the, like, educational gap about the technology that we're using is getting to the point that it is absolutely obstructing any sort of forward movement, because you are being asked by people who just clearly don't understand.
Oh, yeah.
To film, record, do all of these things that they just expect you to know.
And they want it to look amazing.
At a quality level that we've created, right?
And some people just are going to have an upper hand. And, like, it ends up being this classist, racist, horrible thing where it's like, oh, you don't have, like, an amazing kajillion megapixel camera with a full lighting rig and a whole extra room in your apartment to film it. And, like, or you couldn't hire someone to do that for you, which would have cost you, like, you know, hundreds of dollars that you might need just to eat that day. And then like somebody who might turn out an amazing audition on their like shitty old iPhone, they're not going to get the same reaction as somebody who looks amazing and sounds amazing.
And it comes down to simple things like, can you send me the track for this song? Or for example,
at least set them up for success.
I'm going to call back later this month where they said, sing from the show, but didn't send the score.
Like what?
Like it's simple what connectors.
Yeah, like the most basic ass, like, do you want the people coming to be successful? And do you want to cast your show? And like, oh, it's so frustrating. And like, I sometimes I don't even know if they do.
Yeah, I don't.
I just think they're like, there's this weird theater world understanding that it's just like, well, somebody, oh, major Broadway show. I was in for it. I've been in for it a lot. I hope they hear this because they need to learn. I get called in. You will remember this. Oh, I get called in and they send two dance videos filmed from an audience perspective with no breakdown, with no instruction. They just say, here's two fully choreographed Broadway dance numbers performed by the choreographer of the show. You have 3 days to film this with no instruction and reverse it. And I called my agent and I said, this is unacceptable. And he said, which is unfortunately, it's the truth. He goes, someone out there is just going to do it and they're going to get the job. And I was like, and I'm still furious about it because I'm just like, but we need to stop letting that happen. We need to like stop it before it gets there, before somebody breaks down a whole fucking Broadway dance routine. And when that's just not, what if I had work every single day that week? I'm sure there's plenty of people who did that are like, or like people that aren't choreographers or like insane dancers that can just like learn something from a video with zero instruction, know how to reverse a whole thing. And like also it was like a full piece that's like in circles. So like learning how, like which way was it going? Which way is it turning? I was just like, do you want these people to be good?
Yeah, there's like always the common adage of like the people behind the table want you to be the one they want you to succeed. And then
so set me up.
And then this happened and you're like, nobody is setting people up for success.
No, they're it's like they're giving you like crazy fiery hoops to jump through. And I'm like, but if I was in a rehearsal, you would teach me the choreography.
Yeah.
And if I book the job, you're going to teach me the choreography. So why am I learning it wrongly myself?
Yeah.
Because like, I don't know what like all these disconnected weird movements mean. Like there's probably huge meaning behind them within the show that like the choreographer won a Tony for. So it's just like, I don't like understand why you would just be like, here's, you know, 3 minutes of dance. Good for you. Good luck. And I was just like, I drives me absolutely fucking insane.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great. Well, Sean, we've reached that time where I ask.
I didn't even prepare. I didn't prepare.
Do you have any questions for me?
Oh my God.
And you're a full coast away. So technically, if I get mad at you for this question, I have to figure it out on my own.
It's true. What is one thing in the summer months that you are most excited for?
I am really excited to dye my hair.
Oh, we're doing another hair dye moment, I see.
Yeah, I think I need it. I think I personally feel like I've been spinning my wheels a lot, and I need a change, and changing my hair does a lot. And yeah.
I mean, we loved Blue Heaven Midnight Crush era.
I love her. And we'll see. I mean, I do have a lot of things in the air, a lot of projects happening. And like, normally that sounds douchey, but it's like actually true.
You're like, I actually do have projects.
That may or may not allow it to happen. But again, having everything in the air means nothing is signed. So it could all fall apart. And at the very end, at least I'll have fun.
Yeah. And that's probably that's the safe way to do it. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Live, laugh, love.
Love it.
Also, I mean, it is nice to like, I feel like people are just so indoorsy in New York during cold times and coming quote unquote out of the pandemic, I realized like I don't have like a lot of like sit on the couch friends.
Yeah.
Anymore in the city. And so I felt socially like I wasn't like doing that great January through now.
Yeah.
And just as it does get warmer, there's more forward motion to like be out and see people.
Yeah, I mean, just like actually want to go outside
and talk to people and like maybe I'll make a friend. I don't know. I've been saying no new friends since like 2014, but things could change.
Change your mindset.
I can do anything I want.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. I guess I just got to change my mindset. This is better than Brené Brown.
Oh my God.
She has a new special.
Goes to San Diego for 4 days, has a lot of advice.
Oh goodness, Shawnee. Well, thank you so much for hopping on the pod.
Of course. I don't have rehearsal till nights here, so I'm just like, woohoo.
Do you have anything you want to plug? Do you want to tell the children where to find you? This is a very internationally renowned podcast. It actually does great in Ireland, which...
Does it?
Yeah, actually.
Oh, work. Hey, fam.
Probably. It's like America, then the next country that listens is Ireland. And then Australia. And I have two Australians on the podcast, so like, come on, Australia.
Yeah, like, work. My Twitter is at Sean Doherty. My Instagram is at Sean D Doherty. And you can find my music on all streaming platforms and look forward to Fire Escape, which is coming soonish.
It's gonna make you all so fucking wet. I've already heard it. It's very good.
It's a little dirty.
It's a little dirty. It's unapologetically queer, and that is how we are living the rest of our lives.
Ah.
Resistance. Okay, before I say more insane things, let's sign off. Until next time, y'all. Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.